This week, as President Bush travels in Africa, we're talking with writers about the region. Today, South Africa. Alistair Sparks has written about that country under apartheid, now after apartheid. His forthcoming book is called Beyond the Miracle, Inside the New South Africa. Welcome to the program once again, Alistair Sparks.
Thank you very much.
The miracle here is easy to describe. The peaceful transition to democracy, abolishing laws that mandated racial privilege, the idea of national reconciliation as a policy as opposed to settling old scores. Does that miracle, do those old triumphs still sustain South Africans at this point?
Well, I think it's been a very difficult exercise building a new democracy out of the mess that was the old South Africa. But given all of those difficulties which have been related to globalization, related to the decline in the price of gold, which is the central pillar of the South African economy, Yes, I think it's been a remarkable achievement so far, with errors, I think, some quite serious blunders, particularly with regard to AIDS and the handling of the Zimbabwe crisis next door. But viewed overall in that context, I think it has been really a very heartening transition so far.
There's a quotation from President Thabo Mbeki that you use at the start of a chapter called A Bad Neighborhood that I want to read. He said, when something goes wrong in Somalia, the residents of Dead Man's Creek, Mississippi, don't say something has gone wrong in Somalia, they say something has gone wrong in Africa. And when somebody steals a presidency in Togo, they don't say somebody has stolen a presidency in Togo, they say the Africans have done it yet again. How important is it to people in South Africa what people in Dead Man's Creek, Mississippi say?
I think he's using that as an analogy to convey what I certainly find myself, which is a generalization about Africa. People do not differentiate. They do not see South Africa as being different from, shall we say, the Congo or Somalia or currently Liberia or Sierra Leone. They lump them all together and generalize about Africa, and that is what he's complaining about.
It was easier, oddly, for the old South Africa to say we are here at the southern end of a very poor continent, but we're very different, than it is for today's South Africa to differentiate itself from its neighbors. Now it's a leader of those countries.
Yes, indeed, and President Mbeki is very conscious of that, and very conscious of the fact that South Africa really cannot prosper as an island of affluence in a sea of poverty. And so much of his politics is devoted to doing whatever South Africa can do on its own, and certainly to encourage the developed countries, the G8, to try and uplift the rest of Africa. He sees the destiny of South Africa as being interlocked with the continent as a whole.
How do you understand President Thabo Mbeki's role with respect to Zimbabwe, where you in your book, for example, fault him somewhat for not showing the kind of leadership that might be expected of the president of South Africa in dealing with President Mugabe, who is clinging to power and playing all sorts of unattractive cards in doing so?
Firstly, he believes that Robert Mugabe is an extraordinarily stubborn and megalomaniac figure who would probably be aggravated and made worse by what one might call megaphone diplomacy. Secondly, I think because he is committed, that is, Mbeki is committed, to playing a role in African politics, he doesn't wish to be seen by other African leaders as the White West's tame African doing their bidding. And so he tries to engage in what he calls quiet diplomacy. My criticism is that the diplomacy is too quiet. He has not given the support to the opposition in Zimbabwe, which I believe he should have given. And he has not made it clear enough to the rest of the world that he does indeed disapprove very strongly of the destructive behavior of Mugabe.
Alistair Sparks, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Alistair Sparks, the author of Beyond the Miracle, Inside the New South Africa, spoke to us from Manchester, England.